Hello and welcome to another episode of Masala Zindabad, the podcast that ought to have been a book. This is Amrita from IndieQuill.
And this is Beth from Beth Loves Bollywood. And we've brought back Todd from Die Danger, Die Die Kill. Hi, Todd.
Hi.
We have brought Todd back to talk about one of his favorite subtopics within Indian movies, all the awesome animals that populate masala films. So, Todd, tell us a little bit about your interest in, did you make up the word Anipal?
You know, it's not. I can't claim that coinage. It's from an old Robert Smigel skit or TV skit, and it had a section called the Anipals, where it was a bunch of animals, some of which were actual animals and some of which were puppets. And I think Triumph the Insult Comic Dog was involved with it somehow, and it was called the Anipals. So that's where that comes from. So I have to give credit where credit is due, but it just seemed to suit this purpose so well that I couldn't resist using it. So
over the years of reading your blog, I've definitely noticed that you love Anipals, and you seem to have a knack for finding movies with Anipals in them. And then, of course, was it about a year ago that you did the Anipal Olympics?
Probably one of the most popular events in the history of my blog. So
tell us about when you started particularly noticing them or paying attention to them, or, you know, was it build up and you kind of had a string of movies that each had an Anipal, or were you watching one thing that made you go, oh my God, there are all these animals?
It was a cumulative process, definitely. But I did start, pretty soon after I started watching a lot of 70s Bollywood movies and then a lot of older stunt films from the 60s, particularly in action films, I slowly started to notice not only that there were a lot of animals used in these films and that it wasn't unusual in an Indian action film for the animals to become part of the action, but I noticed that there were a lot of animals that actually got star billing, like had their names in the opening credits. And I think the first one was probably Sheru the Wonder Bird in Dharam Veer, and that left a big impression on me. And then, of course, there's Modi the dog in Mard.
That's Moti the Wonder Dog. Excuse me.
Wonder Dog.
No, excuse me, Moti. Yeah, the Wonder Dog. Sorry about that.
He might kind of give throw him a fit and stomp off if we don't give him proper.
Yeah, exactly. He worked hard for that appellation, so I shouldn't deny him that. And then I think the real turning point for me was seeing Pedro the Ape Bomb in the Zimbo movies. And Pedro actually had, I don't know if those other animals I mentioned actually ever star, despite their star billing in those movies, where they actually made any other films. But Pedro apparently had something of a career. I mean, he was in all the Zimbo movies, and then he made other movies too. And he was even in a movie that was just called Pedro, where he was the actual star of the movie. Pedro made a big impression on me, and I think the review of Zimbo that I did, where I featured a lot of screenshots of Pedro like waving guns around and doing his shtick, I think that got a real positive response. And Pedro's kind of become a totem animal for me since then. You know, he's my avatar on the blog, and he's my avatar on Twitter, and he sort of represents something that I aspire to, and, you know, sort of being the chimpanzee drunkenly waving a gun in the room. That's what I aspire to with my writing. So that was sort of a big tipping point, and I to sort of honor and spotlight on this trend in Indian movies. And so the idea of the Animal Olympics came up, and it was actually a pretty modest concept at first, but it far outgrew its ambitions as a result of reader participation, because I was actually kind of padding it at first, and I thought, you know, I thought it was only going to go for a month, and I really just wanted to hit the, you know, Sheru and Moti and Pedro. But then as it was going on, readers started saying, you know, well, have you seen this? Have you seen this, you know, and suggesting all these movies that I'd never even heard of, and like Terry Mehrabania, which was, you know, became like sort of the quintessential Anipal movie to me, a lot of these other ones. So it really, it was something that I thought was only going to go for you know, a month or so, and it ended up going for 5 months. It included things like Dharmendra in a bear suit, you know. And, you know, and then it went to the final battle royal where I actually turned it into a competition and readers were allowed to vote for their favorite. And what can I say? Those were heady times. You know, I still look back.
Who
and
was the winner
know.
Of Animal
The winner was actually, and this is why I'll never let my readers vote on anything again, but it was the it was something that I called the subliminal marmoset, which was Piazza Shaitan, Joginder horror movie. And it's something that someone later informed me is it's more likely that it's an owl monkey than a marmoset, but it was just this still image that was probably just cut out of a National Geographic that Joginder used at random points in the movie. He just throw it up on the screen as sort of a boo moment. But that was what won. I included as a joke, but
did the subliminal marmoset like when his image went up on the screen, is there pulsing music and light or anything like that?
Well, yeah, it's a Joginder horror movie, so yeah, there's probably like screaming and then there's lightning bolts. I mean, that whole movie is, I mean, it's, he took a Kamal Hassan movie and just edited all this footage of himself in intense red lighting yelling at the screen, and then there's just all this weird subliminal like animated skeletons dancing and lots of stock footage of lightning bolts and just weird sound effects, and then every once in a while Joginder yelling at the screen, and then also cyclically appearing as a flash of this picture of this owl monkey that's staring at you. So I called it the subliminal marmoset because I think Keith, I'll blame it on Keith because I think he pegged it as a marmoset in his review of the movie. And it came down to between the subliminal marmoset and Pedro. So at least Pedro got second place.
So Amrita, who's your favorite Anna Powell? We've heard from Todd, but who's yours?
You know, I have to admit, I never actually thought about it until you guys started talking about it. It was just like this totally annoying part of like otherwise perfectly good movies, you know, that would be then you'd have like Cooley and then all of a sudden there was like this Falcon and it was like, why? Like, it didn't do anything. And then
that Falcon has a name.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
But it's not the Wonder Falcon. It's just called Alaraka.
Like, absolutely no fondness whatsoever for any of these animals. I'm sorry, I know.
Shocking.
This does surprise me a little bit because just the other day, Amrita was telling me about all the animals she grew up with. And it's a really awesome collection of animals. So I kind of figured that you maybe would have had a soft spot enough for animals that one of the film ones worked its way into your heart, but maybe not.
I mean, the animals that I grew up around were like dogs that my grandmother kept in kennels outside the house because she wouldn't have them into the house. I mean, I like dogs and I like cats and I like birds as long as, you know, I'm nowhere near them. But Birds creep me out. I'm sorry, but, you know, like, dogs and cats, I'm fine with. Elephants, I love. But there's something about birds that's just evil, and I don't want to see them. But
my wife is the same way. She thinks birds are evil, too.
Yeah, there's something about them. I'm telling you, they're planning something. But, you know, I have a cousin whose favorite movie till date, like, he grew up in the States and he didn't actually watch any Bollywood movies ever. But the one Bollywood movie that he actually watched, he was here, he was on holiday for the summer and he saw Hathi Mera Sathi. And he loved it so much as a kid that he actually still remembers the songs from the movie. And he doesn't speak a word of Hindi. That's not a mother tongue, so he doesn't speak any of it. He doesn't know what the songs mean, but you know, he's like going around saying, you know, I remember the song, Main Raja Tu Rani, and everything like that. And I'm like, I don't even know what that song is. And then, you know, but anyway. But yeah.
I think my favorite Anna Powell is Sheru the Wonder Bird, because I think he's the first, I assume it's a he, I don't even know, is the first one that I really noticed, but also that had, I mean, his name is Wonder Bird.
Right.
And he is a wonderbird, and he's so, so helpful. And it does help that his, you know, his human pairing is Prawn. He's pretty cool.
I think it was also a fact of, like, when I was growing up, like, when I was a kid, there were a lot of stunt animals in the movies, but the ones that were really famous were the ones that did, like, helpful things, like the Pomeranian in Hum Aap Ke Hain Kaun, and...
Mm-hmm. Tuffy.
I can't believe you actually remember the name. And the pigeon from Maine Pyar Kiya pecks out Monish Bill's eyes and, like, senses his death, you know?
Oh, I missed that one.
Oh, it's this really cool pigeon, you know? It's like it first runs around delivering love letters between the two leads, and then Monish Bill, for some reason, has, like, this party where he... I don't know if it's the same party, but at one of the parties, he tries to rape the Bhagyashree. And then at the next party or the same party, he decides to use this pigeon for target practice. And he's just, like, shooting at it. And the pigeon doesn't care for it at all. I mean, you can just see that pigeon, like, giving him this look, like, I remember that. And it does, you know, and he's at the end of the movie, he's hanging off this cliff and, you know, he's like trying to crawl back to safety. And the pigeon sits there and looks at him and remembers. And then it flies down and pecks him to death.
It's an avenging pigeon.
That seems like one of the few of the really recurring roles of the animals in this film. That you touched upon two of them. One is being the emissary between the lovers, like, you know, somehow trying to bring back the estranged lovers back together, or running notes between them. And then the vengeance animal that acts to right the wrongs. That, and I love when they give the animals these powers of observation and recall, like the same thing as in the Jackie Schroff movie with the cobra, whereas its master is being whipped to death by Amrish Puri, you see the cobra peering out through the slats in his basket, and he's looking at the amulet that Puri is wearing, because that's all he can see, and you can tell you're seeing it from the cobra's point of view, and you can tell he's memorizing those details so that so later he can seek him out and exact his, you know, his righteous revenge on him.
Wow.
So I see a lot.
Actually, you know, for a production house that just makes a lot of milky romances lately, Rajshree actually is probably the one production house that consistently insists on showing pets. I don't know if they keep a lot of pets at home and therefore they think, you know, the ideal family should also have a pet. But I've noticed, like, you know, in all their movies, but I can't remember if they had them in, like, the older ones, but definitely in the post Maine Pyar Kiya Rajshree movies, you know, they always have some kind of pet, including in that terrible, terrible movie, Main Prem Ki Diwani Hoon.
Yep.
Oh my God. They actually have a CGI parrot in that, you know, and it's like the worst parrot that you've ever seen in your life. I mean, bring back a wonder parrot, you know?
Are these pets shown more as being traditional pets, though, rather than as wonder animals? They're just basically like the family dog or the family cat, or are they given these sort of weird anthropomorphic abilities that you'd see in these older films? Because I've kind of noticed that in the few, like, more recent films that I've seen that have pets in them. I mean, the dog in Kum Hap Ki Hain Kone was more, I mean, he did some stuff, but he was more sort of like the cute animal you'd see in a sitcom. And the same thing as the dog in Tall, I think his name was Brownie.
Brownie, seemed like he was, that's right.
He was more there to be sort of threatened, you know, he was sort of a catalyst for things happening, but he never really performed any feats or anything like that. Is that more the sort of thing you're talking about?
Yeah. But, you know, that there used to be, like, what's interesting about that is actually, you know, it's true that they're no longer stunt dogs. But what's interesting about that is that they're showing pets as part of an Indian household, which was not always the case, you know? Like, if you see, like, the 50s and 60s, it's usually code for they usually had like, you know, fluffy little dogs like poodles or something. And then it was used as a code for, here's a woman who's like so rich, she actually has a dog in her house and she treats it better than she treats people.
Okay.
Whereas in these movies, you know, they're actual pets, you know, they're like part of the family and you love them, but they're pets. They're not code for something, which I think is an improvement.
If animals weren't a typical part of the Indian household, do you have any thoughts on why they're so prevalent in movies? I mean, I don't even know how far it goes back, but why the whole phenomenon started?
As far as I know, there have always been people who had pets, but they're like two kinds of them. You know, you have the pedigreed pets, and then you have like the mongrels that you kind of like have roaming the streets and stuff like that. And that I seem to have known like a number of people who would adopt those mutts and bring them home and, you know, just be nice to them. And but the pedigreed pets thing were, you know, they're basically show dogs, are more expensive, etc. When I talk about them being used as code, that's the kind of pets that I'm talking about, you know, the pedigreed pets.
Right.
Whereas the stunt dogs,
they're like street dogs.
Exactly.
That's what I like about the older Anna Pals, is that they're kind of scruffy, even though they're, yeah, like Modi is sort of a from Marta is like sort of a scrappy street dog. That seems to be more common than, yeah, these more sort of, well, like Tuffy again, who's sort of a little fluffy white, some kind of purebred dog. So
it also has to do with the characters, right? Because Amitabh Bachchan, the Tongawala in Mard, isn't going to have a fluffy white lap dog.
Right.
He's a scrappy street guy himself, so, you know, that's...
Right, and I think the animals are sort of surrogates for the heroes in some ways, too. Yeah. So, yeah, it makes sense that way. I mean, that's the thing I liked about Pedro, too, is I think you see, you know, chimps doing stunts in Hollywood movies all the time, but the nature of them, they're always kind of cute and cuddly, and I think it belies the true nature of what chimpanzees are really like. And yeah. While you have Pedro, he does the, you know, he wears the funny hats, and he rides around on a tricycle, you know, and he does all that stuff. But at the same time, he looks pretty filthy, and you know, he does, you know, it's not hard to imagine Pedro like flinging his poo at people between takes, you know, or viciously attacking someone. So he seems like a, you know, he's kind of an intense kind of mangy looking chimp who, and also, you know, part of his cute tricks involve him drinking lots of alcohol and waving guns around too, which you don't see in Hollywood movies that much. But he's definitely more of a street chimp than what you'd see in a Disney movie, I think.
But you have to remember though that, you know, like chimps in India, you most commonly see chimps. You have those performing chimps. You know, those little monkeys, they're not chimps exactly. They're like little monkeys. And then, you know, they're on the leash and they, you know, they do the whole little dance. They're basically abused animals. So it makes a nice change to see like a chimp that's not quite dressed up in a hat and a pipe, but, yeah, you know, kicking ass.
So Todd, do you have a sense from all the other kinds of cinemas that you also watch, is Indian cinema especially or notably animal-centric or animal-friendly, or are there lots of world cinemas that use animals in similar ways to what you see in Indian films?
No, it's pretty unique to India, I've got to say. I mean, the way they play a part in the action in these films, especially the way they show up in, I don't know, they may be included in these movies as sort of part of the masala stew, you know, to have something for every member of the family, to have something for the kids. But a lot of these movies that have these animals are pretty violent action movies, yeah, that have a lot, yeah, of adult elements, you know, and that's what's kind of interesting. I mean, in some other films, you'll see animals turn up in children's movies because that's a pretty standard thing, but they're not.
Yeah, that's where I know them from. It's Lassie. Right. And that's for kids.
Right. And yeah, and That Darn Cat and those Disney movies and stuff.
Right,
and,
right.
Yeah, but yeah, those animals aren't shooting people and they're not, you know, they're not getting blood revenge against people. No, I haven't seen this. I mean, I'll say in anywhere outside of South Asian culture, because Pakistani movies use animals a lot in much the same way. But outside of that, Nope, this is unique to India, definitely.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it is.
It might have something to do with the Panchatantra. I don't know if either of you have heard of it, but it's basically a collection of short stories featuring animals in the wild. And it's like this really old, really ancient text. And it's basically, it's like the fables. These animals were doing really cool things and outwitting danger and, you know. Mm. And then you have these comics that all of us used to read when we were little called Tinkle, I think that's what it is called. And they were also full of these stories about, you know, this forest where everybody kind of lived together and they had to band together to outwit the predators and then kind of stick together and then, you know, have little adventures and do these cool stuff. And I guess that's also the Jungle Book.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I was going to ask if it was like the Jungle Book. I mean, so are the animals the protagonists of these stories?
Yeah.
Or is there a Ranger Rick or a human figure who's the...
No.
So it's really just about the adventures of the animals.
It really is. And then when the humans do come in, you know, it's... they're definitely, I mean, the ones that I remember, the humans are definitely seen as some kind of disruption to the life in the forest, you know. They're definitely the outsiders, you know, they're a disruptive influence upon the natural order of things. There's deforestation going on and stuff like that, or, you know.
I can't imagine that's not a huge influence on films.
Yeah, that does make sense.
Todd, one of the other things I was interested in hearing you talk about Annapals is types of animals signify certain traits. So, you know, you can easily imagine, okay, dogs are always loyal or that they represent that aspect of the hero. Monkeys are feisty. Snakes are likely to transform into item girls in sparkly outfits. do certain animals kind of repeat characteristics?
Yes and no, actually. I mean, I think you do see some of that. I mean, you'd see a lot of movies where the dogs are portrayed as being loyal, and that's sort of their main attribute is their loyalty and their fearlessness. But it also gets mixed up. I mean, I think Moti and Mard is sort of a trickster character. It's like I could even imagine that part being written for a monkey, like the kind of stuff that he does. He's sort of antic and, you know, he's sort of, you know, is sort of the unbridled id. You know, I kind of think of, you know, again, like the animals, surrogates for sort of the baser instincts of the things that the protagonist can't do. Like, you know, Amitabh can't pee on Bob Christo's face, but Moti can. But there's, so there are, and then I've seen a few films where snakes are depicted as being very loyal. That's true in Dude Kakars, and in, I recently saw, I can't remember what the name, the drug movie, Jalte Badan, where Kumkum is a snake charmer, and she refers to her snakes as her brothers, and they end up protecting her and basically acting like loyal dogs. So you do see a lot of the sort of stereotypical portrayals, but it's interesting because it does get mixed up and you don't quite know how they're going to be portrayed. I mean, you know, and the ideas of birds being loyal, you know, defenders of people, I don't know where that comes from. Not any actual bird that ever existed in history, but, you know... So, you know, it's unpredictable, and that's what's fun about these movies is, you know, when an animal comes on screen in a Bollywood movie from the 60s or 70s, it's kind of like all bets are off. You don't know what they're going to have this animal do, you know, and I'm constantly being surprised by some new thing that some animal is shown doing in one of these movies.
I really love that in James Bond 777 that we discussed the last time you were on our show, the dogs are evil.
Right.
The dogs Do they actually kill somebody? I can't remember. They certainly scare people to jumping over balconies, even though they are sitting there happily with their tongues hanging out and their tails wagging. And then they rob a bank.
Yeah. I think it's implied that they kill somebody. I mean, they never show it because I think they couldn't figure out how to visualize it because the dogs were obviously so docile and friendly, you know. But they would show, they just show the reaction shots of the people, their horror, you know, the ever closer zooming in on the people. But yeah, I think they do. They're used as sort of the assassins in a couple scenes. And then, yeah, they rob the bank. Yeah, there's animal villains too. There's this other, in Johnny Dost, the villains have an evil chimpanzee who wears a fez. So that's the other thing. It's not just the animals aren't necessarily going to be like the faithful sidekick of the hero or the cute kid's pet. They can be the villain, belong to the villain, or they can belong to anybody, or they can be, you know, like Prawn with Sharu. You know, he's sort of, Prawn is just sort of there as Sharu's, you know, perch almost in that movie. You know, it's, I think Sharu is the boss of that relationship. But,
you know what strikes me? It's like the things that they put the animals, the costumes they choose for the animals, you know, like when the snake transforms into a woman, it is always a glittery woman or a glittery man. And I don't get that. And, you know, there's like you were just saying, the monkey in a fez. Mm-hmm. I've seen that not just in like Indian movies, but even in like Aladdin, you know, it's like the monkey and the fez.
Oh,
like, you know, what is that about a fez and a monkey?
That's sort of a classic combo. I have no idea, but the monkey and the fez is sort of an iconic chimp representation. I don't know where that first happened, but yeah, I've definitely seen that in a few Hollywood movies too.
Oh, I can tell.
It's like it's a chimp. You got to put a fez on it, you know.
I can tell you where they got the idea about, you know, the helpful bird. It's but I'm not sure if this is actually where they consciously got it or they just kind of grew up with the idea and they were like, well, yeah. In the Ramayana, there's this story of where when Ravana steals Sita away from Ram. He has her in his flying chariot and he's flying away to Lanka. I forget the name of the giant bird that sees him. But anyway, he sees Ravan doing this and he goes and he attacks Ravan, actually. And Ravan wounds him to the point where it's a fatal blow and he falls wounded to the ground. And he's the one who actually tells Ram that, you know, your wife didn't just mysteriously go missing, but she was actually stolen away by Ravan, and this is what happened. So he basically gave up his life to try and save Sita. So, you know, there's a helpful bird.
I don't know if I remember seeing that, because, of course, the only way I know these stories is from watching mythologicals, and I don't know if I've ever seen that particular thing represented, but that might just be because Babu Bhai Mystery couldn't figure out how to do the special effects for it. But I'll look for that now.
But, you know, if you ever have, like, I don't know, 10,000 hours going, you know, there, then there's this TV series that was made in the 80s that was, like, a huge hit in India. And it's, like, the worst special effects and costumes you've ever seen. I'll never understand why they do that, but the moment that you mention like ancient India, especially like mythological India, the cardboard and the tinsel just magically appear, you know, so everybody's like walking around with like giant headdresses, you know, like crowns made.
Yeah, big headdresses. Yep. Yeah, is this the one with Dara Singh as Hanuman?
Yes.
Okay, I've heard of this, and I've been actually meaning to watch some of that.
Yeah, it goes on forever.
Right, I think I've seen them selling DVD sets of it, and it's like a DVD set that would take a house or something. You know, there's no room in your house wide enough to fit this box in. You know, and my knowledge of the Ramayana is further skewed. Knowledge of it is from watching Thai movies that are adaptations of the. The Thais have their own adaptation of the one called the Ramakien, where it's basically the same story, but they've adapted it to make it more culturally specific, and they have their own mythologicals too, which are pretty interesting.
I should see one of those.
Yeah, there's one called The Noble War. I can even send you a link to where you can get it.
Oh, thank you.
One of the filmmakers who seems to most love animals in Indian cinema is our favorite Manmohan Desai. And he's also a big fan of, you know, people learning lessons or there being something to be, you know, to be gained out of all the suffering and everything that happens in his movies. So do you feel like there are animals that teach people lessons? Either by, maybe by modeling better behavior or, you know, I'm trying to think how an animal would teach a human a lesson. I think it would have to be by the whole do as I do kind of thing.
Well, I mean, I think it depends on the kind of movies, because there's sort of very broadly speaking, there's two different kinds of these movies or the way animals are used in the movies. You know, in some, they're just sort of a garnish on, you know, they're just sort of there as a sidekick. Or, you know, just sort of as an added attraction to the movie. But then there's movies that focus on the relationship between the main character and the animal, and that's really sort of the driving force between the movie. And I mean, in you know, I think Hathi Mirsathi is one of those. Probably the best example is Teri Meherbania with Jackie Shroff. And those movies are basically just, they're romances, basically. And just like in a romance, you see how the love that the characters share kind of change them and make them better people. The impression I get from a lot of these movies is that the way the animals are used in the narrative, maybe to represent sort of the connectedness of all living things, you know, the fact that they are helping the humans out is just, you know, sort of an expression of the oneness of all things. Again, in Jalti Badan, the way the character that Kum Kum plays, who's this sort of earth mother, she's like a tribal snake charmer, and she's in love with the main character, who's like the, you know, the snooty rich boy. And the way that she, at first he's kind of put off by the fact that she has this weird kind of bond with her cobras and that she named them after gods and she calls them her brothers, like they're her actual blood. And at first, you know, he thinks she's kind of crazy, but then they fall in love. And I think it's part of that whole process of the, you know, the earth mother sort of humbling the snooty rich guy and sort of getting him more in touch with, you know, himself or his better nature. And I think the animals serve a part in that. So, yeah, I mean, I think you definitely see that. But again, it depends. Sometimes they're just there as sort of a stunt.
I think Hathi Mirsathi is like really interesting because, you know, she's actually jealous of the elephants. And,
yeah,
you know, it's like a woman that wants to break up her husband and his best friend. You know, like she can't stand all the time we're spending together. And the elephant is like very understanding. I don't know. It's not anything like the elephant actually does. They just have these close-ups of the elephant looking at her like, I know what your problem is. And then, you know, you just get this idea that the elephant is like being like, I understand how she feels. And it's like telling her.
Yeah, the elephants are very saintly in that movie, as I recall. Yeah, I love that representation of the animals as being sort of all-knowing and or sort of being these empaths, too, that sort of know what time it is when the humans don't. Like in I can't believe we haven't talked about this movie yet, especially with Beth taking part in the conversation. The Rekha movie, Kun Bari Mang. Where the dog in that, the role that the dog has in that movie is really interesting to me because I think it's Rekha's, isn't it her uncle or something that's scheming against her marries her off to the scheming, you know, to her scheming husband and they just they're plotting against her.
Yeah.
But the dog from like right off, Jumbo, the dog, knows that these guys are evil. He goes crazy barking and it's kind of like Lassie. If there's no Timmy, it's like the dog is definitely trying to tell her that this guy is no good and bad things are going to happen, and she just doesn't hear it, and the bad things happen, and then the poor dog ends up under the care of the abusive, horrible husband.
The one big loophole in that movie was that he didn't actually have the dog put down, because I would have thought like the first thing he would do is like run out there with a pistol and just, you know, kill it. I mean, he obviously doesn't have any problems killing human people, so I'm like thinking, well,
yeah, that doesn't make sense. It's like
he probably doesn't think the dog is, you know, he wouldn't give the dog a time of day to figure out that it knows things, surely.
But
he's obviously taking the time to feed it and provide some minimal amount of care for it, while Reka is taking part in her extremely convoluted revenge plan that involves her getting plastic surgery and becoming a supermodel. You know, true. He's like, oh, damn, now I have to take care of this dog that hates me. What is a homicidal, evil, you know, villain to do? I guess I'll just, you know, feed it and care for it for the next series. So, yeah, that is a bit of a plot hole. But Hathi Mirsathi was, I don't remember a lot about it, but I do remember being really disturbed by that whole episode where the wife not only becomes jealous, but doesn't she develop almost sort of a mania or a phobia or this obsession about how the elephant is going to kill the child? And there's actually, she has these visions of the elephant stomping on the kid, which is like, they actually put some little, I don't know if it was a real, it was probably not an actual, well, it could have been, who knows, but it looked like it was an actual elephant's, you know, foot stomping on like a 2-year-old actor. But does she leave him, or does he leave her? Because he sort of chooses the elephants over her.
Right.
He does. Yes. Right.
And, you know, I mean, she's being, and the thing is, you know, your sympathy, I mean, they needed like an easy way to show that she was being totally unreasonable about the elephants and about his love for nature and the elephants and what a lovely relationship the two of them have. But, they just chose to make her go completely unhinged. When she finally, I think she leaves him and she goes back to her father's house or something and says that he can't have the kid. And then, of course, you know, the elephant ends up saving the kid and, you know, everything ends happily.
That's right.
And the elephant forgives her.
Aww.
Right. Doesn't the elephant sort of endeavor to sort of bring them back together somehow? And then doesn't he end up setting himself on fire or something like that? He's a circus performer or something like that. Man, that movie was very disturbing on many levels.
I have that sitting on my shelf, and elephants are one of my favorite animals. That's why I got it. But now I don't know if I want to watch it. If something bad happens to the elephant, I can't handle it, probably.
I don't remember. Does it almost die? I don't remember.
I don't think anything actually does happen, because I think if it actually had happened, then, you know, nobody would have ever forgiven Tanuja in that movie, you know, because everybody would have been like... But then he does have, like, Rajesh Khanna does have, like, he's also, like, the most unsympathetic husband. Like, when she first starts talking about it, he just kind of goes like, oh, you're just being a silly woman. And then he starts sulking when she gets, like, you know, increasingly paranoid.
He just wants to ship her off to the brain doctor and forget about it and hang out with his elephants in his elephant cave. Elephant/man cave.
An elephant lair. Oh, I love it.
His elephant lair, yeah.
So, are there some animals that you have not yet encountered as Annapals that you thought you would?
Well, I haven't. I'm a cat person, and I have never seen a cat in one of these movies. I know, Beth, that you have.
I have. Khel Mohabbat Ka, which I was most recently talking about in our episodes with Carla, in which I note that Farooq Sheikh is mysteriously out-acted by Shakti Kapoor in that movie. But it does have a helpful cat who is, I think, dark gray or black and very fluffy, so I just call it Fluffy. And it hates Shakti Kapoor and does its best to slow down his evil plan. And, you know, maybe you don't have to be particularly insightful to realize that Shakti Kapoor is evil, but I'm still pretty impressed because I've hardly even seen any cats, let alone having them be true Anipals.
There's actually, wait, it's not an actual pal. I wouldn't actually call it a pal. It's actually creepy. But there's a movie called Wrath, which was, I think, Ram Gopal Verma's very early horror movie in Hindi. And it had like a cat that was possessed or evil in some way. Mm. You know, it's like, it was a very traditional sort of, you know, Western cats are evil, you know, familiars of witches and that kind of stuff. And then also in Bhoot, I think there was a cat, wasn't it? I don't think it did anything, but it just kind of like walked around noticing the ghosts.
I haven't seen either of those, but it's true. I don't even see cats very often just show up in the background or anything.
Does Shakal in Shaun have a James Bond villain cat, or do I just want him to?
I think he does.
He does, yeah. I stand corrected. Now that you mention it, I think I've seen other spy knockoff movies where the Blofeld-like villain has the cat in his lap.
Yes,
so.
In Mahabudmash, the evil villain whom you only see sort of the legs and lap of.
Yeah,
that has a cat too, doesn't he?
I gotta say, all those spy movies kind of blend together. So especially the ones that have the faceless villain. But I know I've seen that motif of the cat being petted, and they seem to have a hard time finding cats that are as well behaved as the cat in the James Bond movie, because the cats in the Indian movies always seem like they're really kind of struggling to get away from the guy.
You know, that's probably why they don't have that many cats, because a cat is going like, you want me to do what? Rob a bank? Pass. You know? Talk to my agent, you know?
It's like, right. Yeah, and it doesn't work to just put a tether around their waist like they did with Sharu to make sure that he flew where they wanted him to, which is actually terrible when I think, you know, if you give too much thought to what they have the animals doing in some of these movies, it's not quite as funny, but, you know, definitely something for PETA to write us nasty emails about.
Beth, didn't you meet fish, like helpful fish?
Yes, I recently have seen a helpful goldfish, which, I was no end of surprised by that. And it was also in a film that I don't think I would have expected to see a helpful animal of any kind in, let alone a goldfish. And the movie is something probably quite a few of our listeners have seen, Aria 2, a Telugu film from a couple years ago. And our hero, who is kind of an anti-hero to begin with and is, you know, reformed by the love of a good woman, he has a goldfish that he rescues from the first round of villains that he beats up. And he takes the goldfish from their house with him, and then he keeps it with him for the rest of the movie in this little bowl. And he has the goldfish bowl in the office, and there are a couple times where you think for sure that goldfish bowl is going to, you know, tip over, but doesn't. And then there are instances of the fish warning him of things, and if you stop to wonder, well, how could a goldfish warn you of anything? Pretty much the only thing a goldfish could do, which is to leap out of its bowl and kind of smack the heroine in the hand or on the face, or the hero, sorry. So it just kind of leaps at him until he feels its presence. I have to say, in the very last instance, we see the goldfish. You see it fling itself out of its bowl to the sleeping hero, and you don't see the goldfish go back in the bowl, nor do you see him put it the bowl. So I really hope that the goldfish survived and it's part of the happiness at the end, because it's a really good goldfish.
Yeah, that sounds spectacular, I must
say.
It is.
It's my favorite part of the film, for sure. I want to talk for a second about Ajuba, which is a film that I have spent a lot of energy defending. And I really do honestly like it, but it has, I counted once, I think it has at least 10 different animals in it, most of them helpful.
Oh.
And I can't remember
it's
if either
of
you...
It's been a long time since I've seen that.
So you have seen... Amrita, have you seen it?
Yes, but the only animal that I really remember from Ajuba is the giant crab.
That's what I was going to say, too.
The giant crab is like, you know, it drives all thoughts of everything else just out of my head. I mean, it's like, it overwhelms me.
So we think the giant crab is going to attack, but really it doesn't. And then, so Amitabh Bachchan is orphaned but raised by a dolphin.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And you've got, I wish I had pulled up my list. I will put it into the blog post. But there are birds. There are mice. I can't even remember what else. But elephants for sure. There are helpful elephants who help deliver a baby, I think. And just all sorts of animals. And it's, again, one of these things where, you know, Ajuba came out in 1991, I think. And it's like, oh, Shashi, you made a great movie, but you put it at the wrong time. What were you thinking? I don't even associate Shashi Kapoor as someone who, despite his huge masala career, he's not in a lot of films with Annapals that I can think of.
Right.
He must have a few, and I've seen him fight a man in a bear suit, but that's kind of... Right.
Maybe he regrets that about his career. Maybe he was trying to turn back the clock with that movie and, cover some... Yeah, the path not taken. Though I'm glad you're reminding me of Ajuba. I need to rewatch that, obviously.
Everybody needs to rewatch Ajuba. It's so good.
Now, that movie, as I recall, isn't that a Russian co-production?
Yes. Yeah. Soviet.
I'm wondering, because you were asking about other cultures that have animals in them, and now, because there's this tradition of these Russian fantasy films too, which I'm not very well versed in, so I wonder if maybe they also have all these, because I do remember now there are all these kind of magical animals that would intervene at different points, and I wonder if that was something that was maybe shared with those Russian films too. I don't know
that the Russian fairy tales are full of magical animals, like animals that come and help. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very, like, their version of Snow White and, well, most of their stories seem like versions of Snow White to me, There's always, like, a witch, and there's, like, this pretty girl that needs to do something, and they're always, like, birds of the forest that come and help her, and mice, and ants, and, like, really unusual choices for helpers. But yeah, the Soviets do, the Russians do have it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Amitabh Bachchan has done, like, of all the A-list stars, I think he's done most of these movies. Have either of you seen, there's a movie in which he actually fights a stuffed tiger?
Yes. He does it in Ajuba, but he does it in...
Tiger Escapes. And
yeah, that's the one with Rekha, where he has to prove to her that he's a man by wrestling a tiger. Yeah, that's Khun Pasina. But there's this other movie, I don't know if it was Ajuba or Tufan, but it is basically him in a cage. It's like, I don't know, it's like a jail, like a prison, but he is the tiger. At least the tiger in Khun Pasina actually was a tiger, like he's in the beginning and then you kind of like see it. But in this movie, this is like one of the 80s movies, it's clearly a stuffed tiger. It's a giant stuffed tiger that's like frozen in one position. And then you have Amitabh Bachchan kind of like wrapped around it with his teeth gritted and making like, and then he's like wrestling around the floor with it. And it is the funniest thing that I have ever seen anyone do.
It's not Tufan, because unfortunately I've pretty much committed Tufan to memory from having to review it for Teleport City. And I would remember that. So it's one of those other...
Let us also not forget that in Sean, he fights a quote-unquote crocodile underwater.
Yeah, and again, it's the classic rubber crocodile roll around with. But that's not something exclusive to Indian movies. I mean, there's plenty of Hollywood B movies where you see the guy wrestling with the stuffed tiger or especially the rubber crocodile. That's really a classic.
And those are not really Annapals. Those are just
Those are puppets. Yeah, I was going to say there's one of those Nodia Gujarati films where he has a Sharu. It's actually called Sharu the Wonder Bird, but it's mostly just a puppet rather than an actual bird with a string tied around its midsection. But and it's obviously after, sometime after Dharam Veer, and they spell Sharu Sheru instead of with a double O, just to avoid confusion.
Tell us about some movies you've seen that you think could really use an Annapal or two and would be much improved by the presence of some animals.
Well, I don't really need every movie to have an Annapal in it, but, you know, probably a lot of Hollywood romantic comedies would probably be better if they had some of these, you know, if they had a chimp, you know, a drunken chimp firing a pistol running around or, you know, but I don't know. As far as Indian movies, I'm pretty satisfied with the, you know, it's sort of an embarrassment of riches already as far as how many movies there are like this, and I keep finding more and more of them. Mother India have been better if there was like a trained bear in it or something? Possibly. I don't know. But that's a tough one. I don't really know how to, I suppose it would be an improvement to almost any movie, but I can't think of any specifically where there's sort of an Annapal-sized hole in the narrative, you know, screaming to be filled. So,
what do you think, Amrita?
Well, as I said in the beginning, I don't actually care for them all that much. So I'm a Todd. I think I can live with the ones that I've already got them.
I feel like some of our current heroes would be wise to do something with an Annapal so as to firm up their legacy. You know, because if Amitabh Bachchan has Annapals, then you should have them too. And so I'm thinking someone like Shah Rukh could use an Annapal. And like, if we think even of things like, Chuck Day India, he's so sad all the time. If he'd had a nice baby dog, that would have been really helpful. And the dog could, you know, he could practice his hockey with the dog because the dog could go and fetch the, what is it? It's a ball, right? I don't play field hockey. I don't know these things, but you know, so you could have had, you know, training montages using the dog. I think that would have been nice. The girls on the team who all hate each other at first could have sort of bonded over the dog instead of having that fight scene that I hate so much. So that one would be good. It seems like if Salman Khan is going to keep doing, you know, sort of Telugu style stuff, he could have an Annapal to help him as a police officer. You know, a horse, or again, a dog or something smaller that sits with him. I don't know. I mean, India seems to have a wondrous variety of animals in real life, so you could just kind of pick anything.
Right. Yeah, I was kind of actually, speaking of Telugu films, I have seen so few recent Indian films, so I was a little surprised that there wasn't any animal action in Magadira, because it did seem to have so many other of the classic kind of Telugu action movie elements.
Our friend Temple, who is the biggest Magadira evangelist I think that I know, is going to be really angry if I don't point out that it has tigers, but I will also point out that they're digital tigers and they are exact duplicates of each other. You see them walking next to each other and it's the same tiger. Just
do they aid the
at all? But they are very excellent accessories to indicate the muscular prowess of our hero.
Yeah. So. I see. Also, good point about Shah Rukh. I mean, I could definitely see him, especially now that he's doing like these superhero movies. He definitely should an animal sidekick of some kind. You know,
he does have one in Ashoka. I mean, he has his horse.
Well, that's true. He has his excellent horse.
Yeah.
Oh, we should have known. He was already on top of that. He's very savvy. As we're talking about this, it seems to me that it's mostly men who get to have Annapals. Is that your experience?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we're talking about Rekha in Kunbei Mang.
Oh, true. True.
You know, that's a classic Annapal movie. And, you know, it probably is mostly men, but there are some, I mean, then of course there's Aruna Irani and her dog that shoots Shetty. I mean, that was like a peak moment in my history with these movies.
And she's also the star of one of the other peak moments, surely, of breastfeeding a snake.
Right, exactly. The thing that brings more visitors to my blog than anything else, I'm sorry to say, one of the most dispiriting things about checking my web stats is how many people want to see the scene of Aruna Irani breastfeeding the snake, which he actually does not. I mean, that's sort of a misrepresentation, is because she does not, the snake does not actually suckle on Aruna Irani. She feeds some of her breast milk to it. But yes, but in that film, though, it really ends up being Jackie Schroff who is who the snake ends up serving over the course of the film. But it is because the snake was fed the breast milk of his mother, so that makes them
brothers
basically. In the logic of that film.
If I were an Indian heroine, I would walk around with a really big dog, because there's always all these gundas, you know, trying to rape you and whatever else. So, I mean, I know that that would give the hero less to do, so we probably can't have that.
Especially with like Shakti Kapoor and Amrish Puri in the neighborhood.
Actually, this one movie, I can't remember the name of it, but the villain played by, I think, Amrish Puri has a dog that can sniff out traitors.
Excellent.
I don't think I saw that one.
And he finds out that Meenakshi Seshadri is the traitor in the organization, and she's like feeding information to the police or something like that.
Excellent.
Yeah, that is excellent.
I can't remember the name of it, but it's like a smart dog. It's like a drug sniffing dog. It doesn't bark when it finds, you know, traitors. It actually sits down quietly, so the guilty person thinks, oh, you know, he doesn't know anything, but then that's the signal.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, that is brilliant.
That is a brilliant synthesis of what dogs can actually do.
Right, exactly. It's almost plausible.
With film convention.
Almost, yeah. Just almost.
So what's your top Annapal movie?
I think it's actually Terry Meherbania, just because it's like the ultimate romance story of a man and his animal. I mean, the first half of the movie is about the relationship between Jackie Schroff and Moti, who is played by Brownie the Wonder Dog. And apparently this was one of the ones I learned about from a reader in the course of doing the Animal Olympics. And apparently the film was a pretty big hit, and Brownie the Wonder Dog became sort of a flash in the pan sensation because of it. He was sort of a phenomenon.
Aww.
Though I don't know if he did any other movies, but so most of the first half of the movie is about the relationship between Jackie Schroff and Brownie, so much so that Jackie Schroff has a love interest. Poonam Dhillon is in it, but she gets killed off pretty early in the movie, and then Jackie Schroff gets killed off. His character gets killed off at about the halfway point, or at about the end of the second act. And then the dog becomes the protagonist of the movie. The remainder of the movie is actually from the point of view of the dog, and we follow the dog as it exacts revenge against the murderers of Jackie Schroff's character. And I mean, I've never seen that. You know, this takes the whole concept beyond what I've seen before. We actually have the dog stepping into the lead role, and we're seeing everything from its perspective. The dog has, like, you know, the dog witnesses the murder, so he has these traumatic flashbacks. So we're seeing flashbacks that the dog is having. The dog cries. There are these scenes of the dog going to Jackie Schroff's grave and sitting on the grave and crying as this mournful song plays. And it's actually the closest that I've ever come to seeing a song actually being picturized on an animal. You know, it's not technically that. I mean, the dog isn't moving its lips, but it's one of those things where, rather than having someone miming the song on screen, you're watching the dog as the song plays, and the song is meant to portray the emotional state of the dog. So, you know, about as close as I've come to seeing that. But then the rest of the movie, it's almost like an 80s slasher movie where the dog stalks Amrish Puri and his and his cronies and eliminates them one by one. It's just amazing. I mean, it just, the movie just completely blew my mind because I just, you know, I didn't, many places I didn't think it was going to go. And I've had that experience with a lot of Indian movies where it's just, they've taken me a place that I didn't think I was ever going to go. In terms of the way it features the animal and really is all about the animal and the way it anthropomorphizes the animal, that's definitely the ultimate Annapal movie as far as I'm concerned. As much as I love Pedro and Sheru, but I have to give it to Brownie the Wonder Dog. It was also the first time I'd ever seen an animal cry in one of these movies. I've seen it a few times since then. I think the elephants cry in that one movie, and then there was a movie where a rabbit cries, which was probably
a strange rabbit.
Yeah, it was that fairy tale movie where it has the little vignettes like Faraz Khan is Gulliver, and then there's a thing where Neetu Singh is Cinderella, and the little girl who's the center of the story that frames all those has a rabbit, and the rabbit is named Moti too, and the rabbit at one point, because she's a sad little girl whose parents are abusive and has a really horrible life, which is why she escapes into these fantasies. But at one point, the little girl's life is so sad that that her bunny rabbit cries, and someone has taken an eyedropper full of water and put some little drops on its fur underneath its eye.
As much as I love my dog, and he can tell when I'm crying, I'm convinced of this, but I've never seen him actually cry in empathy with me. Kind of having a hard time imagining a rabbit being so empathetic that it couldn't cry, but that's fantastic. Well,
is there any one of the Annapals that you would like to take home with you?
Oh, good one.
My immediate and visceral response is no, but maybe upon more thought. Because the Annapals I tend to be the most fond of are the least well-behaved ones. So, I mean, I definitely wouldn't want Pedro or Moti or, you know... maybe Brownie the Wonder Dog, because, you know, if I was ever murdered, he would take care to, like, you know, viciously get revenge against my enemies. So he seems like he might be good to have around. But beyond that, no, there's none of them that I really want to, you know, cuddle with or anything like that.
I'm a dog person rather than a cat person, although I do like cats. And I think that I would have to take, because the upkeep on an elephant or a horse is just, you know, it's preventative where I live. So I would take the cat I call Fluffy from Kel Mohabbat Ka, because it knows who the creepy rapists are.
Yeah.
So I think that, again, as a woman, that would be a really useful cat to have. And it seems to be, you know, it seems like it would be nice to pet if it would hold still, because it's very fluffy. So, yeah.
Yeah, that cat, I was actually looking at your post today, and the cat did look very nice and fluffy in the pictures. And actually, I will say that dog in James Bond 777, the main one, is really adorable.
Oh, the white one?
Yeah, the white one. Yeah, it's sort of, he seems like the ringleader. If I had a gun to my head and had to take one Annapal home, I would really take that dog home.
This has been Masala Zindabad, the podcast that ought to have been a book. Thank you for listening. Bring back a wonder palette, you know?